My message for you today is that you are not obsolete, even in the new AI economy. You are not obsolete. And in this podcast, I'm going to cover why you are not obsolete and how you can navigate the challenges of mass AI replacement of current human jobs. So thank you for joining me today. I'm Mike Adams. I am not only known as the Health Ranger, but I'm also an AI developer. And you can see all the tools that I've built. They're all free at brighteon.ai. Now, the first key point to understand here is that yes, AI agents will replace a very large percent of current human jobs. And I'm talking about desk jobs, jobs that you do behind a computer, let's say. Right now, at least a quarter of those jobs can be replaced by AI. Within a year, that number will probably be 50%. Another year, 75%, let's say. These are just estimates. And then a year after that, nearly 100%. But that doesn't mean that you're obsolete, even if you have one of those jobs today. What it means is that even though this will be disruptive, there will be new jobs that are available as a result. And this is the way it works with all technological revolutions, including revolutions in things like agriculture. So the introduction of tractors, well, that replaced a lot of people who were otherwise working on the farms using human labor. So the human labor was replaced with machine labor. So what happened to all those humans? Well, at first, there were disruptions. They lost their jobs. But then they found new careers and new jobs by doing things that are higher level than, you know, cutting corn cobs or whatever they were doing in the field. That's the key. Before the invention of the printing press, the Gutenberg machine, well, there were a lot of scribes in society. And so what happened after the printing press? The scribes lost their jobs. Most of them did. Was that a bad thing? No. It freed people up from the drudgery of hand copying books, which is a horrible job to have. And so part of my message here today is that, yeah, the job you're doing right now might be replaced by AI, but the more quickly it's replaced by AI, probably the worse the job is. And so not having to do that job will actually be a benefit to you. The key is to upgrade your skills so that you still have value to employers or to society in ways that transcend your old job that is now obsolete. So there's no such thing as an obsolete human. There are only obsolete roles that can be easily automated by machines. And in this broadcast here, I'm going to give you some tips for how to stay ahead of the curve as jobs are replaced at a very large scale. So the first thing to understand in all of this is that as AI cognition is gaining in its ability to replace your old job, it's also gaining in its ability to teach you new skills at essentially zero cost. So think about this. Never before in human history have human jobs like customer service jobs been easily automated by AI agents that can read and reply to emails. But that moment is here now. And yet, at the same time, we have AI engines that are essentially free, and many of them are available completely free for limited use. I mean, our AI engine is completely free for unlimited use, by the way. You can find that at brighteon.ai. But you can use AI systems now to teach you job skills that used to cost you a lot of money. So this is the first thing to understand, is that you're never obsolete as long as you continue to learn. You are only obsolete if you stop learning and stop adapting. And that's your choice. So you can make sure you're never obsolete if you just keep on learning new skills. And now the barrier to learning new skills or new knowledge, the barrier is gone. You can learn anything you want to learn completely free of charge. You can even use our new book generator engine at brightlearn.ai to generate books on any topic you want, to teach you anything. You can generate like a classroom book or an instruction book, a how-to book, anything you want, an academic explanation book, anything. And it will do it for free. And right now that engine is opening up to token holders, but there will be a free tier that's announced in a couple of weeks that will create shorter books for you, completely free of charge. And at the same time this is happening, understand that employers are no longer gauging people by their education or their college degree, let's say. The college degree, that has become obsolete in many ways. Although, you know, certain degrees still carry more weight than others, that's changing rapidly. Because what really matters is a person's knowledge, and especially knowledge about how to use AI. So one of the best ways that you can maintain your relevance to the economy is to learn how to use AI. Because if you're having to switch jobs, if you have been replaced by AI, by learning how to use AI, you can get relatively easily hired by somebody else because you're the AI expert. Or you're an expert on AI in a certain area, a certain domain, like how to use AI to automate customer service, or how to use AI to classify loan applications, or how to use AI to generate reports for accounting, things like that. You can become an expert in that area, and that uplifts you from the drudgery of the low-level job to a higher-level job that might even pay more, but certainly requires more brain power and more creativity. And that's the key. See, you don't want to stay stuck in an obsolete job just because it pays you an hourly wage and some benefits. You want to upgrade your skills and adapt to the new changes in society so that you are now more relevant than ever before, even in the age of AI. And this is what happened during the revolutions of agriculture or the Industrial Revolution when machines were replacing human laborers. It didn't eliminate the need for human labor. It just shifted where that labor was being used. Same thing's true today for cognition. Even though machines can now achieve human-level cognition for most tasks, it doesn't eliminate the need for human cognition. It just displaces it and pushes it into different areas of the economy or different areas in a corporate environment or different areas of business or innovation or entrepreneurship. But you still need cognition. You still have an advantage over every machine. And that is, number one, you've got long-term planning capabilities, you've got memory, you've got wisdom, you've probably made mistakes in your life, and you've learned from those mistakes. You've got inspiration, creativity, and free will. And while you could argue that maybe the machines can simulate some of those things, they don't have them intrinsically like you do. And machines don't have a lot of good judgment about business decisions either, because they don't understand human society and human culture very well. So you still have an advantage over the machines, especially if you decide to launch a business idea using AI augmentation as a tool that can help you succeed. And that's another major point in this report, is that whatever you decide to do, not only is it a good idea to use AI to help educate you about that topic area, but if you decide to launch your own business or have a business on the side or to offer a service on the side or whatever you're going to do to remain relevant, use AI to help you do that job better. You can use AI to help yourself market your services better. You can use AI to launch a website. You can use AI to do almost anything at this point, to process documents, to, you know, translate, to do anything. Anything that requires cognition, in other words. So whereas a few years ago, perhaps you had a business idea, but it would have required you to hire 5 people in order to do the business, maybe you can automate the thing where it's only you. Maybe you're the only human in the business idea and you have 5 or 10 AI agents. There's nothing wrong with that. You're under no obligation to just create a business that hires a bunch of people. You can be a one-person business. And I've even proven that. I've shown that with our book generator engine at brightlearn.ai, I'm the only human involved in that entire project. Literally, I'm the only person. I built the engine using AI agents from the ground up. even, you know, all the graphics and book covers and everything, it's all been AI automated. And although we're giving away the book, you know, we're not charging people dollars, you might have an idea where you could charge people. You might have a special analysis service for a specific industry. And that's the other part of my message here, is to leverage what you already know into a new business venture, if that's what you choose to do. But leverage what you know. Don't try to become an instant expert on something where you have no knowledge. Like overnight, I'm going to become an expert in trading, you know, options or futures or something. Yeah, probably you're not going to become an expert overnight. Probably it's going to take a number of years to become competent in that industry, because there's a lot of wisdom that's gained through some very hard lessons. So don't expect to become an expert instantly on a domain of knowledge, but you probably have a domain of knowledge. It could be from a hobby, could be from a previous job or a current job. It could be from your area of study, if you went to college, or if you've been working in just whatever you're interested in. That's where you have domain knowledge. And that's where you should look for ideas for launching a new business, a new specialty service, if that's what you want to do. And you don't need to earn that much if you've already been able to save some money on the side, which hopefully you have been. If you're listening to this, you probably have been. Now, speaking of that, there's another important chapter in all of this, which is to learn to live on less. So while you're involved in this transition, which will be very chaotic, and a lot of people will be displaced from their jobs, and that might be you, possibly, or maybe someone you know, or your children, or what have you, it's important to be able to live on less during this time. Because, you see, culturally in America, we like to buy really big houses. Even when we're just starting out, we're in our 20s and just got out of college, and we want to buy a 3,000 square foot house for some reason, because the lending agent made it affordable in terms of monthly payments that you can just barely afford, so you're just barely scraping by. You got a house payment, you got a car payment, you got insurance payment, groceries, which are going up, and then you land a job, and the job pays just enough to be able to make all these other payments. Well, what happens if you lose that job? Now you're in trouble, right? Now it's an emergency. So it's a good philosophy to learn to live on less, so that you can downscale in terms of not requiring so much revenue every month. And there's no shame in living on less. And I've lived on less many times throughout my life. You know, as a poor student, you could say, when I lived in Taiwan, I was completely broke. I was down to my last 100 NT, which was worth about $4. I was literally down to my last $4 for a meal. And I was buying rice and eggs to eat, you know, because they were the cheapest way to not starve. So I know what it's like to live on less. And not only is there no shame in it, but it actually builds character. So if you're going through a time of some chaos or job loss or adjustment, don't think of it as a failure. It's actually a time to build character and learn some financial wisdom about living on less. How do you cut expenses significantly and still use your time and energy wisely to learn new skills and to upgrade your game so that you can maintain relevance in a changing economy? Living on less is a key part of this. And that means you're not going to go out to eat as much, probably. You're going to have to give up that Starbucks latte. You might have to cook more of your meals at home, which is fine. If you're not employed, you're going to have more time to do that. So spend your time doing things like learning new skills via AI, cooking your own meals, studying the job market. You know, there are all kinds of online courses that you can take completely free. You can tune in to practically the entire coursework of MIT that has online videos. You can watch their courses. You can learn anything you want, very nearly, completely free of charge these days. It's just a question of how you choose to spend your time. If you choose to spend your time, you know, just being a consumer and focus on entertainment and things like that, then, you know, you're going to have kind of a rough time because you are going to be left behind in that scenario. But if you invest your time in learning new skills and maintaining relevance and saving money, living on less, then you're going to be fine. In fact, I would say that people who exercise self-discipline are going to do extremely well during this time of transition. Self-discipline means a lot of things, like the discipline to study and learn, the discipline to live on less and spend less money, the discipline to look for new jobs, the discipline to, you know, just get up in the morning and do something useful for the day, not just sleeping in all day and binge watching Netflix series at night, you know. Discipline. When you exercise discipline, you're going to be very successful, especially if you follow my podcast, because I'm going to give you the tools all the time. I'm going to give you tools. I'm going to give you wisdom, perspective, and show you how to navigate all of this. So even just listening to my podcast is a good use of your time, especially if you're doing something else at the same time, like cooking a meal. You can be cooking and listening. And that's what I do. If you wonder about my habits, well, I'll share them with you. It's no secret. So when I'm out exercising, I'm jogging in the forest, and I'm always listening. I'm always learning, and I'm listening to things that teach me every single time. When there's a holiday, and my staff at my company, they're off for the holiday, which is great because they don't bug me. And then I get to do vibe coding, which is AI coding, and I get so much done on holidays or weekends. But I'm not just at the desk all day. I'm out exercising. I'm lifting kettlebells. I'm enjoying the sunshine. I'm taking care of my animals. I'm collecting chicken eggs or cleaning out the chicken house from time to time, you know, or whatever I'm doing. I'm taking care of goats, dogs, animals, donkeys. I'm doing stuff, you know, planting more trees, building out irrigation systems, monitoring the pine needles on my loblolly pine trees and things like that, making pine needle tea. You know, I'm doing real things too. But I make sure that every hour of every day is something that's going to move me towards my goal. And in my case, I have a goal of reaching 1 billion people with empowering knowledge, decentralization of human knowledge, especially in areas of health and disease reversals and liberty and freedom, all of that. That's my mission. Whatever your mission is, you need to make sure that every day you're moving in the direction of your mission, that you're using your time in an intelligent way that takes you closer to your goal. And it's totally okay to be far from your goal right now and to recognize that this is going to take a long time to get there. That's okay. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, as they say. So it's totally okay. Additionally, use AI engines to help you plan your goals. If you have an idea for the world or an idea for your own future business or your own future career, it's a good idea to ask AI engines, hey, what do you think about this career direction? You could ask it questions like, here's what I'm considering doing, or here's a business idea I want to launch. And do you think that this will be relevant in 5 years or 10 years? Is something that an individual with my skill set can successfully pursue? You know, is this something that I can start with a minimum investment? You know, what would be some ways that I can market this idea? Offer me some feedback that's critical of this idea. Point out the weaknesses or the gaps in this idea, or how can I make it better? You can talk to AI engines like this and get that kind of feedback, and they will help you work through your ideas. And they are very good at that. And this is why I say, no matter what you've done in the past and no matter what your interest areas, you are not obsolete. And one of the fundamental reasons why that's true is because you're working in a human economy. And as a human yourself, you understand the needs and desires of other humans. So in a human economy, the fact that you are human tells you that you will have some resonance with the things that humans need. For example, if you want to offer a product in the marketplace, let's say you want to bake pastries or something, right? I mean, there's always going to be a place for baking pastries because some people will want pastries. Pastries are delicious, you know? So there's always going to be humans that want to buy pastries. They're always willing to pay something for it. Well, you can't easily automate pastry making right now, but you can automate a lot of things around it, such as much of the accounting of a pastry business, the marketing, the logo design, the strategy, the negotiation with the landlord for the rental space. You can have AI help you negotiate. So yeah, you're still going to make the pastries, which is fine. There's no shame in that. It's an art. You know, it's a way to contribute to society. It actually has real meaning. And you can use AI to make your business more successful, even to help you choose a location. You know, you can, maybe you're considering renting a building at this certain location in the city. You can ask your AI engine about that. Give it properties about that location. Is this a good idea? You know, will the economy support pastry purchases for years to come? What kind of pastries are most popular? What's the best marketing angle on pastries? You know, what would be some of the best wholesalers for pastry ingredients to be able to buy ingredients in bulk in order to save money on the you know, commercial side? So lots and lots of ideas there. Okay, a couple more things and then I'll wrap this up. But the healing arts will always need humans. The healing arts, I'm talking about everything from massage therapy to acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, chiropractic care. Also, there's, you know, sound, energy, healing, vibrational medicine, just 1,000 different things. Herbal medicine, you know, naturopathic medicine. Humans will always have a role in the healing arts because it's about more than cognition. It's about empathy. It's about resonance. It's about the human side of things. It's about being able to feel what your clients and patients are feeling. And that's something that machines can't do. In addition, there will always be job opportunities for humans that do complex physical tasks. For example, plumbing that I've mentioned before. Plumbing or welding or being a chef for now. Maybe one day there'll be a robot that can be a chef, but that's many years down the road. And it's going to take a long time for robots to be plumbers because of the needs of dexterity and crawling into small spaces and having hand grip strength. And also just the knowledge of how to diagnose a plumbing problem and having the right tools and having the forearm strength to grip the tools. You know, this is why, you know, why are most plumbers strong men? Because you got to be strong to be a plumber. You got to have a lot of hand grip strength and forearm strength in order to be a plumber. You don't see a lot of female plumbers for that very reason. So yes, we will always need plumbers. We will always need people who run landscaping businesses and greenhouses and who know how to grow plants and harvest plants and who know the whole process of producing herbs and natural medicine through plants. Again, that will always be there will be a human element that is needed for every one of those. And if you think about it, most of the jobs that are being replaced by automation are jobs that were very robotic in the first place, like vacuuming floors in a hotel. You know, so there's a robot that can vacuum floors. That's great. We don't need humans to vacuum floors. What a waste of a person. You know, humans are meant to do things much more meaningful than walking up and down hallways for 8 hours a day running a vacuum cleaner. That is not a very rewarding job, and it's not much of a life mission either, right? So we should celebrate the automation of these low-end jobs or drudgery jobs because it frees us up to do things that are more meaningful and more challenging and that actually contribute better to society. So, you know, don't fear automation. Just get ahead of the curve. You're not obsolete, in other words, but you may find that your past skill set is obsolete. So you got to learn new things. Okay, very last thing here is about learning. And some people don't learn very quickly and they wonder why. How come I can't learn this? How come I can't figure out math or whatever. Let me give you some advice, and it's nutritional advice. Your brain will work better when you improve your diet. So the cleaner your foods and the cleaner your health habits, the better your brain is going to work. And yet, most people, they bathe their brain in blood that is infused with all kinds of toxins. What do I mean by that? Well, your blood is made from the things that you eat and things that are on your skin, or even if you inject yourself with vaccines, for example, that goes into your blood, okay? It may start out as an intramuscular injection, but it goes into the blood because there's such a thing called biodistribution. That's how they function. So the things that you eat affect your brain, and if you're eating junk food, you're going to have sort of junk brain, you know, junk cognition, and that's not going to serve you well. If you want to be a super learning machine, you got to have a super food diet. And it doesn't mean you have to spend a fortune either. You can eat healthy at very low cost. You can buy in bulk. You can grow some of your own food. You can do sprouts. Sprouts are dirt cheap and loaded with nutrients, especially broccoli sprouts, you know, which, I mean, broccoli sprouts will generate brain medicine. It's called sulforaphane, and it's neuroprotective and anti-inflammatory. You can grow it for free. I mean, what do you need? A jar, a rubber band, a piece of cheesecloth, and some sprouting seeds that are just dirt cheap, you know. $10 will last you months, you know. I mean, you can grow medicine, okay, and you can do it almost for free. There's nothing stopping you from having a healthier brain and eating healthier in terms of your food choice. There's nothing stopping you except your own knowledge and your own discipline. That's it. And you can upgrade your knowledge using our AI tools that know a lot about nutrition, by the way. And you can upgrade your discipline just by choosing to do so. And the healthier you get, the more disciplined you'll become, because you're going to find that it's easier to do things when your brain works better. When the cobwebs are gone because you've eliminated all the seed oils and the processed junk foods and the excitotoxins and the toxic pharmaceuticals and all that garbage, you get it out of your life, your brain works better. Discipline becomes easier. Ideas come easier. So whatever you decide to do in your life, first thing is you got to clean up your diet or improve it in any way you can, upgrade it. And then you're going to find that everything else flows more easily. So see, you're not obsolete. You might be living under, you know, chemical exposure that is making your life more difficult. And you can change that with a choice. And your life will get better from that point forward. And that's what I teach. You can follow my work at brighteon.com. You can use all of my AI tools at brighteon.ai. You can read my articles at naturalnews.com. Or you can follow my social media posts at brighteon.social. I'm also Health Ranger on X. So follow me wherever you like, and you'll learn a lot, and I will help you navigate this economy so that you're never obsolete. You're always at the top of your game. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.